And good morning again. Hope you've all been well fed. Now you're ready for the preaching of the word. When that candle goes out, I'm out of time. But I did buy 2 sets of candles for the 4 weeks. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and the theme is hope. And I will commit to try to preach upon these themes also, but the Lord has the final say about what I have to try to preach. But in as much as possible, I will try to focus upon the themes of Advent, for it is a time for the church to prepare to celebrate the coming of the Lord. Arrival. Advent comes from a word that means arrival. Coming. Not only do we celebrate the birth of Christ, his advent, but also looking forward to his second coming. Hope means a lot of things in the Bible, but today we're going to focus upon the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel was the promised Messiah. It is an old ancient prophecy from Moses, Isaiah, and many of the prophets, but the hope of the Messiah, the hope of Israel. It's important to note that during this long period, thousands of years, many people gave up, but some did not. Some did not. And we don't want to give up. We want to hold on to hope. So, getting our text today, reading from the book of Acts, of all places. Reading some scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is when St. Paul has been delivered unto Rome as a prisoner. And when he gets set, he's under house arrest. He invites the Jewish community of Rome to come. He wants to talk to them. Now, they have not heard much about him. They have not been sent letters about him being arrested and coming to Rome and all this. They don't know too much about Paul. They have heard some things about the new faith called Christianity. But Paul wants to talk to them. And he says something here this morning that I want us to look at. Verse 16, St. Luke writes, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days that Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called ye, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." And St. Paul says to the elders of the Jews there, "The reason I'm here today is for the hope of Israel." the hope of Israel. What is your hope today? Think about that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope we have in Christ Jesus today. It is our earnest prayer, dear Lord, if there be anyone here today or anyone watching or listening that has not laid hold upon that hope in Christ Jesus, that today they will secure a hope and glory through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would encourage your people, dear Lord, that we would not faint nor lose hope no matter what we face in this world, but we will endure holding on to faith, dear Lord, faith that will propel us through the hardships of life, through the troubles and the woes. Lord, we pray for the sick of our church this morning. Would you visit them? I pray the Holy Spirit bless each one. And Lord, we pray now as we give our minds and our hearts and attention unto you, that the Spirit of God would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says, for the hope of Israel, I am here. Hope, there's a lot of definitions for hope. Hope is a firm expectation. Firm. You know, we're not iffy, not sort of hope, but a firm expectation. We expect God to keep his promise. It is a firm expectation of all promised good things. So as far as they may be for God's glory and for our goods, all things work for the good for them that are called according to his purpose. But especially of eternal salvation and happiness in heaven, where we shall be comforted and conformed to the Son of God. That is our hope. The hope of Israel throughout the scripture is none other than but the hope of the Messiah, which is the Lord Jesus. The word hope in Hebrew also means wait. You know, that we wait, we endure. You know, it may be a while, but we patiently wait. To hope in God means to wait with patient expectation. We're patiently, we expect him to keep his promises with patient expectation, trusting that he will fulfill his promises. This kind of waiting leans forward, anticipating the day when Jesus will return and make all things new in this broken world. That is a mess. Brokenness. We look forward to the day that Jesus will come and make all things new. Never lose hope. Such hope empowers Christian people. It propels us to persevere. To persevere and to serve the Lord Jesus and act in a way comfortable to him as we wait for his arrival. So not only do we prepare to celebrate the joyous occasion of the birth of our Savior in about 4 weeks, but also we look forward with patience to and anticipate his arrival when he shall come and make all things new. We have been let down by leaders, politicians, all of these years. But don't lose hope. There is one who is coming who will make all things new. That is firm. Do not surrender that. The hope of Israel, Paul says. I'm bound for nothing less but than the hope of Israel. That's what I'm here for, he says. What is the hope of Israel? The Messiah, the long-awaited promise that God made his people way back. There are many prophecies about the Messiah. The oldest comes, I guess, maybe from Moses himself. Deuteronomy 18 and 15 says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hearken. You must listen to him. And so the people look forward, anxiously awaiting. Think about how many generations of faithful people. You know, we think about the unfaithful often. They get the headlines most of the time, don't they? Most of the news that we watch today is about bad things. People go and they do horrendous things. They kill people innocent just to get the headlines. That's why a lot of people do that crazy stuff. We focus upon the unfaithful. But listen, folks, there has always been a light among God's people. Even in the darkest of hours, there have been those faithful. Sometimes they are few in number, but there have been some who did not give up. There are some who held out hope down through the darkest of times in history. The other prophecy that the Israelites looked forward to was found in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. A government that will be run right. Amen. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Everlasting kingdom. Upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And they look forward to those years. Oh, there were some dark moments in the nation of Israel, and eventually the nation failed, both of them. The nation split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom went wholeheartedly after idolatry and failed. Later, even Judah and Jerusalem went after idolatry, and it failed. But even then, even in the midst of those failures, there was some faithful people who did not lose hope. Did not lose hope. Jeremiah the prophet prophesied in the darkest of times. The writing was upon the wall. Idolatrous practices. Judgment was coming. God had said, and you know, if you don't repent, judgment is coming in the form of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. They said, no, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. And it was a dark time. And Jeremiah stood and proclaimed God's message to his people. The only hope for us is to repent. Oh no, everything's okay. Everything will be okay. Very frustrating time it must have been for Jeremiah. For when he preached God's word to them, they arrested him. They called him a traitor. They rejected the word of God and believed in the false prophets who were telling them good things, that it's okay to live in sin and God will prosper you because you're his people. And Jeremiah says, these are lying words. But anyhow, it was a very dark time. Very dark time. We go through some struggles sometimes, you know. And it's hard not to give up sometimes because things can be so bad when we look around. But even in this time of Jeremiah, he looked forward with some hope that one day the Messiah, the promised Messiah, God's promises are true and they are clear and they will come true. And Jeremiah, he's thinking the Messiah one day will come and set all this straight. This nation that has gone into idolatry, this nation that has shed innocent blood, this nation that has, the kings had sacrificed their own children and human everything imaginable was going on there. What a mess. What wickedness was going on there. And it's hard not to give up. It's hard not to say things are so wicked. How can How can we survive? How can we get through this? But for God's people, there is always hope. No matter how bad it got, even in that northern kingdom that was doomed to fail from the get-go because of idolatry, there was a few people who held out hope. There was a few people who didn't give up. There was a few people in the southern kingdom who didn't go for the sin, Jeremiah being one of them. There were others. I want you to know that there are countless unnamed people in the Word of God, you know, people who have been faithful, and they didn't make the pages with their names in here, but there's always a remnant of God's people who have been faithful. And during these dark times, Jeremiah calls out to God. Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 7, 8, and 9. He says, "Oh Lord, though our iniquities testify against us," it's awful what was going on in Jerusalem and Judah at this time. "Though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee, O the hope of Israel." And then he pleads here, "O the hope of Israel." The hope of Israel, Paul said, "I'm bound in these chains for the Messiah, the hope of the Messiah." Oh, hope, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope in the Lord. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof. In time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for the night? Oh, Jeremiah pleads, "O thou, the hope of Israel, the hope of Israel." As long as we have hope, we can make it. We don't know what we'll be going through one of these days, but I can tell you that as long as we have hope, we can make it. We can make it. And there is always hope in God. He is faithful. Though the nation went on to fail, they was carried away captive to Babylon, come back, tried to restore the kingdom, never could make really a go of it, struggled, had their strugglings, 400 years of silence between the Old and the New Testament. They say that's 400 years of relatively silence, that not much was going on. It was a time of darkness for Israel. No open vision, no significant movement of the Holy Spirit and God upon the nation of Israel and the lives of the people. No revelation, nothing significant happening until the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias in the temple. But during those 400 years of silence, there were some faithful people. The Bible says Zacharias and Elizabeth were faithful. There were faithful people, even though we know that the leadership, the chief priests, and those in Jerusalem were corrupt. You know, it's a fact they were corrupt and wicked. We know that, but there were some people who held out for the hope of Israel. That was what they were banking everything on. That was their all. That was all the hope they had, that one day the promised Messiah would come. And a movement of God started that day in Jerusalem, as Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and a little later unto the Virgin Mary and announced the birth of our Savior, the coming of the Messiah. Moving forward, after his birth, when they come to the temple, they bring him to Jerusalem for the dedication. He is the firstborn to offer a sacrifice of doves and turtle doves. And they bring the Lord Jesus before the old priest. He is an aged man by the name of Simeon. And he is a priest who works in the temple. Many of the chief priests and the rulers and all that are corrupt. Corruption has taken hold. They're for profit. There's a lot of things going on there. It's a power struggle. It's become political. It's become about money. What does money usually do? Corrupts people. Corruption had sunk in. But as they bring the Lord Jesus to the temple, you know, to do after the custom of the law, to have him dedicated, this old priest here, I want us to see him, the man by the name of Simeon. He's old, but he's faithful. We find the story in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Aren't you glad that God has his people around, even today? The same man was just and devout. Wow! A lot of corruption in Jerusalem around the temple at this time, but not everybody. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Wow, waiting. That's that expectation, expected hope. He had that hope. He's old, and he's near the end of the line for him, but he hadn't given up hope. Doesn't matter how old we are, what kind of circumstances we are not to give up hope. He could have said, there's so much corruption around this place that I'm going to give it up. I'm going to excuse myself from the corruption that's going on in and around Jerusalem, the wickedness. But he held on hope, didn't he? He had hope. His hope is that one day the Messiah will come and make all things new. The Messiah will come to us. The Savior will come. He is a devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting is not something we like to do. And I'm in the first of that line. I do not like waiting. And don't do it unless it's necessary. But there's some waiting necessary with the things of God. Waiting is very akin to hope. When we talk about we have hope, we must be saying we have the patience to wait for that hope to be manifested. He is waiting for the consolation. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine this faithful, devout old priest as he looks around and sees the corruption around him? And he said, you know, is there any use to me holding on here? The Bible says the Lord revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, yes, there's some use for you hanging on. Do not abandon your hope. Do not abandon your hope. Because you shall not see death before you have seen the Lord's Christ, the hope of Israel. You're going to get to see the hope of Israel. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy words, for I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And the parents didn't know what he's talking about. Mary probably did. But there was a devout man of God in Jerusalem who had not given up hope. Sometimes when we are about to give up hope, we need the Lord to encourage us like he did Simeon here. Don't give up hope. You're close. Listen, we're close to things. The things that are coming to pass in our world today, I feel like we're close, and this is no time for us to give up hope. You know, no matter what we're going through, this is no time for us to give up. We must wait patiently, expecting God to bring his promises to pass, the Messiah. And guess what? Simeon got to see the Lord Jesus. Mine eyes have seen. You know, he got to see that. So he didn't give up, and God rewarded him for that. Fast forward about 33 years later, after Jesus came, began preaching when he's about 21 years old, or 30, I'm sorry, about 30 years old, began his ministry of teaching, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And guess what? The common people heard him eagerly, didn't they? Poor people flocked to hear Jesus talk about the good news of the kingdom and all things being made new. He healed the sick, raised the dead, fed multitudes. And there was an air in the air. The people began to say, maybe, just maybe, he is the hope of Israel. Jesus did not go around saying, I am the hope of Israel. I am the anointed. Christ means anointed. Jesus didn't go around saying to people, I am the Messiah. But his works spoke for him. People began to put two and two together. And some people said, perhaps this is the hope of Israel. Do you think? And when God preordained it that he should be anointed the Messiah on Palm Sunday, the people came together with that conclusion. This, and the Bible says that many of the people from Galilee followed him to Jerusalem for the feast. And when they got to Bethany, they started a little parade, set him on a donkey colt. You know the story of Palm Sundays, and the people shouted, praised. You know what they said? Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of David. Hosanna means save, we pray. They're chanting a prayer and a chant and asking Jesus. They're actually saying, be our Savior. Be the hope of Israel. We need a hope of Israel. How many of you believe today that we need a hope in our country today? We need hope in our lives today. You know, the brokenness we see around us, so many people, they have no hope. No hope. Tragically, Sunday or so ago, that young man, that's horrible, laid down on a railroad track. Young man, you know. People need hope today, church, and it's our business to offer them hope in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in us, not in our ability to feed and make them feel good and to comfort them. Some of that, yes, but the hope that people need is found in Jesus. The hope that we might give them by feeding them and doing these things, and those are necessary, we'll only get them by temporarily. But the hope that Jesus can give them will propel them to endure. So on Palm Sunday, the people be our Messiah. We could say that that day they gave the golden key of the city of Jerusalem to Jesus. As he comes into the city, some of the people said, "Who is this? What is all this commotion?" "Why, this is Jesus the Nazareth, the prophet of Nazareth, Jesus." Listen to what these people said. Matthew 21, verses 8, 9, and 10. "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, strawed them in ways. The multitude that went before, and they that followed, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he was come to the Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this? Who is this?' And they were ready to proclaim him the Messiah." Actually, that was fulfillment of the scripture of Daniel, when the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem to the day, if you want to do the formula. But I want us to notice a little later, one more verse in this chapter, and then we'll move on. One more verse in this chapter says, Matthew writes in verse 15, "And when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did," and then Matthew inserts this, "and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were displeased." And this movement of God where the people are proclaiming Jesus Messiah and little children weeping and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Through the mouth of babes, the Lord was speaking here. And the hardness of the hearts of the leaders said that they were sore displeased. Sore displeased. Little children crying out for hope. Be the hope of Israel. Be the Messiah. We need a Messiah. We need a Savior. We need a Savior, and we need one today. What a scene. The little children crying in the temple, overcome by emotion and the Holy Spirit, no doubt, upon them, proclaiming Jesus to be the hope of Israel that day. But the Bible says, less than a week they had buyer's remorse. Now I want you to remember, I want you to get this visual image of these children in the temple crying and saying, you know, this was a movement of God. This wasn't something that their parents prompted them to do. This was the Spirit of God speaking to babes. And they were crying and chanting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Less than a week later, on Good Friday, when they wanted to have Jesus crucified, they bring him before Pontius Pilate. Pilate does everything he can to find a way to let him go, although he didn't really care that much. He did have some sense of justice, and he realized an injustice was about to happen. And he done two or three things to turn Jesus loose, and the crowds would not have it. Why? Why? What has he done? And then finally Pilate, "Okay, you people are so set on crucifying this man. Have at it. But to show you that I really don't believe he's guilty," he poured water and washed his hand, "show you that I am innocent of this just man's blood. See ye to it." Their response was, "His blood be upon us." Here's the heartbreaking part. "And our children." Our children the very little children that were crying in the temple and saying Hosanna to Jesus. No doubt some of them or some of their parents, it was the same generation of children. Parents said, His blood be upon us and our children. Oh, church, we need to do all that we can to try to get our young people, our children and our grandchildren saved, you know it. And when we're not making an effort, when we're not trying to reach the lost, we're silently saying, His blood be upon us and our children. You know, the things we need to try to win our children over, they need the hope of Israel. He's not only our hope, but we want Him to be the hope of our children, our grandchildren. We want to see little children saved. We want to see them grow up with a hope. We don't want to see them grow up with no hope in this world, or false hope placed in things that have no lasting hope. But we want to see them with a real, genuine hope in Jesus Christ. The hope of Israel was none other than the Messiah. The Messiah. There were some faithful people who did not give hope up hope. Many did, but some didn't give up. St. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. What is our hope? What is your hope today? What are you hoping in? What is the hope of your life other than Jesus Christ? The hope of Israel needs to be our hope today. You know, people put their hope and their trust in many things. Institutions, different things, money, fame, fortune, all of those things. Hope in Jesus only will propel us. Is the hope of Israel our hope? I want to ask you today, here or listen afar off, wherever you are, what is your hope? What are you depending on to propel you through no matter what comes? That you be able to wait, expecting the goodness of God to be upon you, looking forward to the goodness of God in eternity, looking forward to celebrating the birth of our Savior, looking forward to His second appearing, an event that will shake the world, that many people, it will not be a good day. But for God's people who have hope in Christ, it will be a day of vindication. It will be a day that the Savior has come back to make all things new. All things new, and we need to be ready for that. Jesus taught that. Oh, do you have a hope today? That's the most important thing. You know, you can list things that you've accomplished in your life, but the most important thing that you'll be able to say is, I have a hope in Jesus. I have a hope in Jesus. And Christian friends, we do all get discouraged sometimes. Do not lose hope. Hope, how long? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. Be like Simeon. Be like the old faithful people of God, who are many of them not named in the Bible, who held out hope through the darkest times of history. Terrible things they went through, but yet they did not give up hope. That's the kind of hope that people need. That'll propel you to endure whatever. You know, we don't know what we'll be going through, but we believe that Jesus is coming one day to make all things right, to vindicate His people. It'll be a time of glory for Him and His people as we're gathered together in Christ, and we go on to better things in glory, where all good will come to God's people. Do you have such hope? Do not faint, Christians. Do not give up. Brother Danny is going to come with a song. I want to read one more verse with you, and we're going to have an invitation, and we're going to call you to come to hope today in just a minute. The psalmist says, happy is he that hath God, the God of Jacob, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You want to be happy? We're living in a world of very unhappy people today. If you want to be happy, you need the hope of Israel. You need the hope of the Messiah. You need to lay hold of hope in Jesus Christ. And then all the other things are secondary. That hope becomes the foundation that you stand on. It will propel you through all the disappointments in life, the hardships, whatever, how dark it gets. The hope, the light of God's hope, will not grow dim. If you have laid hold upon the hope in Jesus Christ, you want to be happy today? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Hope in other things will leave you broken and very unhappy. Let's stand together today. If you want this happiness, this hope, it is found in Jesus the Christ. And he died for you to be your Savior. Have you trusted him? Shall we sing?